Our thought for the lesson this evening hour is to be found in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. I bid you turn there. We will be reading verses 16 through 18. While I give you just a moment then to turn there, let me emphasize something that Bill has already said. For 11 days, Bill is going to be in the Yemen, and that's a very dangerous place. While we are hoping, while we are praying for our brother, while he will be gone, he will be in a compound. We are praying that during that period of time that all will go well. I'm sure he will be in contact with Catherine and with others as the need may arise. Anyway, we do want to be aware of each other, that we will pray for each other, because none of us knows what tomorrow holds. Well, this morning we talked about the year 2015. And we spoke of the hope and the aspirations that are ours in view of the fact that we have been called by the gospel and all of the opportunities for worship and service to God are to be found there. Now, reading in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, our direction is turned from now. It is turned from just one year, 2015, in yet another, even further direction. Listen or read along as I read, beginning with 2 Corinthians 4:16. Paul said, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Have you thought about things eternal? What about eternity? Well, when we think about eternity, as I say, we're not thinking about one day and our lives. We're not thinking about one year that may present so many golden opportunities for us. We are thinking about, I'm in big trouble. How do we describe eternity? Well, you can't talk about it as far as time at all. There will come a time, there we are, there will come a time when time is no more. What about eternity? Well, it is something that cannot be measured by a clock. It is something that cannot be measured by a calendar. We oftentimes, in our study of history, go back thousands of years. And I guess at times we congratulate ourselves in knowing as much as we do about old times. But you know, whenever we are discussing eternity, and it is a Bible subject, whenever we are discussing eternity, we are talking about that which is without measure. Especially then, as Paul himself bids us to look not at things that we're able to see with our physical eye. Because everything that you're able to see with your eyesight, it's timely, it's temporal, it will all pass away. There is not a thing here on earth that we can look at that we can say, oh, that's eternal. But nevertheless, the Christian especially is bid by Paul, don't you look at things that you can see with your physical eye. But he says, rather, the things which are not seen, the things which are not seen through the physical eye, he said, they are eternal. What are those things? What are those things? Well, the Christian knows that, first of all, the Godhead, the Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, His Son, the Holy Spirit of grace. Who are they? Well, they are eternal. They have always been. You see, in the true sense of eternity, we're talking about that which has no beginning. We're talking about that which has no ending. In the truest sense of the word, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are so unique as we cast our mind's eye and fix it upon them. We say, do you know what is so wonderful? They are eternal. Oh, so many wonderful Bible passages declare this truth. I love the way that Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter, what an unusual place to find this teaching. Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter, verses 26, but especially verse 27, there is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to help you, and in His excellency on the clouds. The eternal God is your refuge. Oh, what a wonderful promise to those who can see God. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Oh, Jehovah, our God, is unlike any other one. He is eternal. He is everlasting. But you know, that which makes God divine, this matter of an eternal nature, the Scripture goes ahead to declare that that is also true concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. I want you to know that I am very, very distressed whenever I hear people talking about Jesus as if though He were some kind of a minor divinity, as if though He did not possess that divine quality of eternity Himself. I noticed that Isaiah, in the 9th chapter, talking about the birth of the Son, says, for unto us, verse 6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, without a doubt referring to the coming of our Lord here on earth. The government will be upon His shoulders, and His name, what should we call Him? His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. Now watch. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Who is Jesus? The Everlasting Father. The Gospel of John goes contrary to any kind of idea that our Lord Jesus was not with the Father from the very beginning. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. To identify who this Word is, verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, my friends, it is wonderful to think about the birth of Jesus here on earth. It is wonderful to think how God's plan would plan on His coming to live here in the flesh. But that wasn't the beginning of Jesus, was it? Whenever you talk with your friends at school and at work and others, and someone pipes up and says, you know, Jesus was just a created being, that's all He was, you say, no, you've got that all wrong. He was in the beginning with the Father. You go back to the very first chapter in God's book, Genesis, the first chapter. All three persons in the Godhead are mentioned. The Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. Verse 26 of Genesis 1, God said, let us make man in our image. He was not talking to Himself. He was speaking to Christ. He was speaking to the Holy Spirit. Let's make man in our image. In just a moment, we'll be talking about being in the image of God. But right now, we are thinking about the eternal nature of our Lord. Now, all of these things that are temporal, all of these things that we are able to see with the physical eye, who made them? Well, in Colossians, the first chapter, verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, and then of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things, there's nothing left out. All things were created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Oh, that is so much for us to think about. We are talking about those who are eternal. What about the Son? What about the Holy Spirit? Oh, they were with the Father from the very beginning. How did all of this come into existence? I was talking with someone the other day, and we were discussing why is it that unbelievers do not want to think about eternity? Well, if you do away with God, then what is there in eternity? How do we go about explaining the things that we are able to see that are temporal? Well, the only way in which anybody can explain those, I don't care who they are, the only way in which anybody can explain the things that we can see with the physical eye is to say there has to be something that we could not see. There had to be an intelligent creator that brought all of that into being. Now, what is the practical side of that for you and me? Here's the Father. Here is the Son, Jesus. Here is the Holy Spirit of grace. And someone says, I don't believe in them because I can't see them with my physical eye. Shame on you. You're looking at it in the wrong way. They are eternal. The things that are eternal, those who are eternal, no, you can't see them with the physical eye. But look at all of the evidence. The evidence is all around us. The sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, and everything that is here on earth. Did you see the beautiful sunset today? I hope you did. I hope you weren't just watching your television set. It was the most beautiful sunset that I think you could ever see. God made that. He made that in order that we might glorify him. And whenever we talk about the practicality of recognizing that the Godhead is eternal, do you know what we ought to do? We ought to fall down and worship them. We ought to fall down and worship them. This is the mark of all true worship. God is spirit. They that worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. But you know, I've been in places in the world where people worship the things that are seen with the physical eye. They want to worship the stars. Oh, but God created the stars. There was a time when there were no stars. Man wants to worship his fellow man. And you think about all of the idols that are mentioned in the Old Testament scriptures, how thankful we ought to be, how thankful you and I ought to be that we've escaped that. You don't want to bow down before an image of gold or silver or stone. Who are we to worship? Why is it altogether proper that we have come together to sing songs of praise to God, to pray to him, and to offer all of our tributes? Revelation, the 4th chapter. Oh, it tells us all about that. Verse 8, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That's why we've sung these songs of praise to him tonight. Verse 9. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Dear friends, do you realize how blessed you are? Do you realize how blessed you are to have the knowledge of the true and the living God? Do you realize what a responsibility we have to tell of this true and living God to people all over the world? I watch those images in India, and it makes me heartsick. I see how they bow down before their false gods. I go into parts of the world where there is illness, where there is disease, where there is poverty, where there is unimaginable descriptions of sin. And you know what is the cause for all of that? People have refused to acknowledge it is the eternal God that we are to see, that we are to fall down before. Don't ever get tired of worship. Don't ever get to the place in your life, dear friends, where you say, I've got something more important to do. Your job is not more important than worshiping God. Did you know that? Your education is not more important than worshiping God. All of the money in the world, everything that you are able to possess that is of time, that is temporal, they're all going to pass away. But our God, he will continue forever. Who? Well, we could just keep talking about that. But the Bible goes on to describe some other things that are eternal. There's no end to them. They're going to go on and on. Do you know what that is? You've got one of those things. It's your soul. It's your soul. It's your spirit. Where the soul never dies, Brother Burton, where the soul never dies. The soul never dies. Let us make man in our image. There we are back at Genesis chapter 1, aren't we? Let us make God, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And don't foolish religions say, I have hands, I've got fingers, I've got toes, I've got all of that, must be like God. You've gone at it the wrong way around. You've looked at yourself and have tried to figure out what God looks like. Oh, no. No, no. You need to look at God so that you can figure out what is it that He gave you. He gave you something immortal. Jesus, speaking to the 12 that are going to be persecuted, they're going to be tried, they're going to be put to death, and He says, don't you fear them. Matthew 10 and verse 28. Don't you fear them who are able to kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Why, all kinds of things happen to the body of man. We read of those terrible airline tragedies. We read of people who die in sometimes very tragic ways. But you know, no matter what happens to the body, just natural old age or disease or whatever it may be, those who know the Bible, who believe the Bible, they say, God has given me something. He has given me a spirit, and it is immortal. Now, the Bible tells us our spirit needs to be purified. Over in 1 Peter, the first chapter, and we just used this one verse. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, we are told that our souls are purified by obeying the truth. And this is the way Peter says it in verse 22 of 1 Peter 1. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the gospel through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. He goes ahead to talk about the gospel that we spoke of this morning, the Word of God which abides forever. But it is through that eternal Word of God that it reaches out to our soul. You and I, again, are blessed. We're blessed here in America. We are blessed because the gospel yet has free course. And we're able to declare to everybody the terms that Jesus gave. As He declared, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So we want everybody to know that. We want them to know through obeying the Word of God, their souls can be purified. What will you give in exchange for your soul? What a tragedy it is when an individual has had their soul purified through obeying the truth, that then they turn back to the beggarly elements of the world. Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 24, Jesus said to the disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life, that applies to today, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You don't have to go into a foreign country and to be put to death for the cause of Jesus, though that does happen. You can give your life for Christ wherever you are. What will it profit a man. You know this verse so well, don't you? Every one of you. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Oh, I hope this year, 2015, in just that little stretch of time through eternity, will be the time when you will say, I intend to lose my life for Christ. I do not intend to try to gain the world. I intend to gain eternity. The day of judgment is the beginning of eternity. That's the best way I know to say it. Matthew, the 25th chapter, in combination with other passages, 1 Thessalonians 4, 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, over and over again, Jesus says, I'm coming back again. I'm coming back. And the description is found here in Matthew 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Oh, what is this? What does our clock and our calendar say? Never mind that. Never mind that. What does the Bible say? Do you know what this is? This is the end of time. This is the end of time. Jesus is not sitting on a throne in Jerusalem here. Did you know that? Do you know what's going to happen to all of these temporal things? They'll be destroyed. What's happened to the sun, the moon, and the stars? They've all been burnt up. What's happened to the earth? Oh, it's all been destroyed. But do you know what has lived on? That soul of man. And there has been a resurrection of the dead. John 5, 28 and 29. All that are in the graves will come forth. They'll come forth. And now here we are. Why do I say here we are? Well, because you're going to be there. You say, no, Brother Tope, I'm not going to be there. I'm going to die one day. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You're going to be there. Well, you say, some way or other, I think I'll refuse that invitation to appear. That's foolish, isn't it? All of that is foolish talk. Because the Bible is so sure in telling us, this day of judgment, that's the beginning of eternity. And you know what then is going to happen? I'll tell you, people try to change it. Heaven will begin. Heaven will begin. Come, ye blessed of my Father. I'm about at verse 34. Come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, how long will heaven exist? It's not going to be like Christmas vacation. It's not going to be for 6 weeks or retirement. It won't be like that. Do you know what? It's eternal. It's eternal. God promises His people the richest reward that you could ever imagine. I'm going to give you heaven. I'm going to give you heaven. I'd love to read those closing chapters of Revelation because it is telling us of the presence of the Father, the Son, all of the angels, all of the saved throughout the ages. And we will just worship and serve Him forever and ever. And no, you'll never get tired. I've heard unbelievers say, I don't want to go to heaven because all it is church. Why, dear friends, that is going to be the greatest joy, to be able to see our Father. That's what's going to happen. You can't see Him now. To be able to see our Father, to be able to see the Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for us, to actually be with all of the saved throughout the ages. Here are the 24 elders. Here are the innumerable company of angels. And there we are in the midst. And just throughout eternity, it just goes on and on and on. And God says, that's for you. That's my reward for you just serving me for this short time on earth. Paul says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. And oh, isn't it so? But oh, dear friends, warning. Just as heaven is eternal, God won't snatch that away from you. Just as heaven is eternal, so is hell. So is hell. Verse 41, still here, Matthew 25. Then will he turn to those on his left hand and say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, do you believe in heaven? You say, oh yes, Brother Tobe. Do you believe that God is going to reward you eternally? Well, yes. Well, then why is it that men begin to doubt when God gives them this warning? I don't want you to go to hell. That's what God is saying. I don't want you to deny me. I don't want you to be distracted in this life so that you say, oh, I'm tired of serving God. I'm tired of worship. I'm tired of doing good. And the devil then is just snatching up that soul. And the Bible says, these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Don't let unbelievers deceive you. Do not allow anybody today, this week, this year to tell you, oh, you don't have to worry about eternity. Everybody's going to be saved. You don't have to be a faithful Christian. Don't be concerned about how the New Testament tells you to worship God or what the work and activities of the church ought to be. Our brethren have been sold a bad package of goods there. They've fallen in with the denominations in thinking the New Testament really doesn't mean what it says. But it does. Follow God's word. Why? Because that's your safety. Only do what the Bible says. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Believe every part of it. Believe every part of it. Women, serve in the place God has given you to serve in the kingdom. Men, be men. Take on the duties and the responsibilities God has given you. Let all of us be faithful while we are here on earth, because eternity is coming. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? Brother Chuck, lead us in that good song and let us help you to prepare for eternity.